You are listening to a podcast by Reverend Didi Arikakith from the United Methodist Wesley Foundation Campus Ministry in Tucson, Arizona.
Have you guys watched the news at all lately? Get your news from the Daily Wildcat, if that. Only on, like, last page, crossword. Nick? All right. I've been in shock when I turn on the news lately, and I guess not any more than usual, but the last few days has really just gotten to me. Have you heard about that Memphis college student that was killed? Did you hear about this? Because he got lucky at a casino. Not very lucky. Just over a week ago, and it just shocks me. Like, when will our college students stop killing each other? And then, have you guys heard about the guards in the security convoy over in Baghdad? No? They opened fire yesterday on a car at an intersection, killing two Christian women before speeding away. And then, later in the afternoon, I heard a news report that came by that a noose was found yesterday at Columbia University Teachers College in New York. A black professor of social justice, known for being a proponent of racial equality, found the symbol of hate dangling from her office door when she came to campus. What year are we living in? When I watch all of this, you know what words come to mind? Anyone? Actually, for me, a song comes to mind, and this is it. You guys hear the song before? It's by one of my favorites, Bono. But seriously, I read this and I just keep thinking, how long? How long? The song was written in 1983 about something that happened in 1972. But I think it still works with what's happening now. It's the cry for help, a frustration, despair that's no different today than it was in the days of Habakkuk. Habakkuk lived at the end of the 7th century and the beginning of the 6th century in B.C. And he was in Judah, the smallest of the tribes. And during the divided kingdom, there was a lot of different areas coming over to conquer them. And so they had many different rulers, and none of them believed in Yahweh, which is our God. And Habakkuk had been given the ability to see visions and give oracles. And our first scripture describes what he witnessed. He witnessed, anyone remember? Injustice, violence, oppression, perversion of law. And unfortunately, he didn't really see this gift as a gift. He kind of was annoyed about this whole idea of being able to prophesy and see these visions because he now had this unusual balance between helplessness and responsibility. He knew, as like a faithful follower of God, that God was good and God was just. But what was going on was not making any sense. It wasn't God's desire. It wasn't the world that God created it to be or what God wanted us to be doing as his people. And as faithful followers, you're charged to change things, right? And then he felt helpless in the ability to change it or know what to say to the rest of the faithful who watched all these atrocities happen as well. And so there was a lot of questions. What Habakkuk faced, it was not that different than now. He was waiting for the first coming. We're waiting for the second coming, exactly. And in the waiting, he questioned what to do. Now, some people think questioning is a very bad thing to do. I'm not one of those people, because I believe that questions don't come from indifference. They come from faith. And from faith, for faith. The strengthening of your faith. So the question is, how do you live faithfully in a world where there is injustice, despair, violence? We know that God's promises of peace, justice, mercy, forgiveness, salvation, and there's so much more coming, but it's not yet here. In other words, how do you live in the in-between? Between the time of when things were promised and and the time when things actually happen. How do we do it in a culture that's pretty instant? You with me? You have that, like, I have no patience feeling? I mean, dial-up is so painful. I think I can actually walk the message faster to my friends sometimes, although I know it's not true. And, I mean, forget about it. I don't even open those photos or wait around that your friends send you. In 5 seconds, if they are not there, I do not need to look at their kid and just move on. And at the end of a long day, as I am driving up Park, I think to myself, is it illegal to run over the cars in front of you? Just so painful. And don't even get me started on waiting for food on University at noon. Are you with me? It is so hard to be patient when we live in such an instant culture. And then I think about this other song that my mom used to play for us when we were kids. It was sung by Herbert the Snail. You guys with me? Anyways, ever watch this? From the Music Machine. So here's Herbert the Snail's song. You can sing along if you know the words. Okay, so that is Herbert the song, but seriously, I couldn't even get through the whole song. That's 30 seconds of the song. I'm like, Herbert, speed it up. But honestly, this little song comes to mind about being patient, like taking a breath, because God is patient with us. Think about it. We suck at earthly patience, right? We know that there's God's time and human time, and sometimes we like to think it's human time and God's time as far as who gets to make the calls on what's going on, right? Well, we know that it's not really true, and it's really God who is driving us, not us driving God. Our scriptures remind us in the second one about the appointed time, which we know will come. And we know what is true, what we know is God's promises will be fulfilled. For it says, there is still a vision for that appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. And if it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit isn't right in them, but their righteous live by their faith. What does that mean, live by faith? Anyone want to take a guess? Anyone want to sing a song? Live by faith. Faithfulness is about placing one's whole life in God's hands and trusting Him to fulfill it, despite any outward or inward circumstances. We are justified not by our works, not how many times you come to Wesley, shocking, I know, but by our faith. This is not where you take attendance, it's where you live out your faith. And our faith, our trust, that in God's time it will happen. It is clinging to God and trusting what will happen and what can happen. I love the song, Blessed Be Your Name. Even when the pain in the offering, the darkness on the road, because we still know that God is blessed. And we still know of all the stuff that is to come, that is promised to us, and that will happen. Tonight, we are blessed to be baptizing Susanna. Baptism is an act of faith. While many of us were baptized as infants, any of you guys? A few of you guys, okay. It was still an act of trust. Your parents recognized that they needed to trust God with your life, and as they raised you. And then you came around, and you got to choose and surrender your own will to God's. You did this through a process called confirmation. You confirm what your parents did. Tonight, Susanna, skipping the middle step, and she is going to surrender to God on her own, dedicating her life wholly to God, trusting God to put her on His desired path, not on her own. Baptism is about accepting the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and vowing to stay faithful, no matter how stormy things look, no matter how impatient and infuriating it is to not understand all that is happening in the world, but to stay faithful, to know that God's promises are going to be fulfilled. They are going to happen because you trust and you know that they will come to be. That is living it out in your heart and in your soul and in your hands.